This is the Professional Patients Podcast with Ruben and Ollie.
Recording, hun. Hiya, Ruben.
Hello. Rubes. How you doing, mate? How you doing?
Mate. I shot my cafeter out across the room this morning. I'm so excited. Ooh. I'm like the next Spider-Man. But
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
I think we should do a little quick intro before we get right into the nitty-gritty. Just to tell everyone that thank you for tuning in. Just a little quick
yes.
one.
Welcome.
This is obviously as professional as we get, that's why.
Oh, basically. To actually answer your question, yeah, I'm doing good as well, yeah. by the way. Just asking. How are you?
Mate, I'm doing well, but I feel like it's about to change because we are going to be talking about catheterizing today.
Male.
A very squeamish. Male catheterizing. And we don't want to alienate our female listeners. Never, of course.
Oh, God, no. But I am a male who catheterizes.
We can only relate to a certain extent to.
Fantastic.
So there's going to be. I feel like maybe I should do a bit of a disclaimer, but then at the same time, I don't want to because it's like, bam, it needs to hit you. It needs to be explosive.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what. I'll do a very brief explanation just to give people a heads up.
Go on, mate.
Sound fair?
It.
So this episode is going to be a bit different to our normal stuff. It's going to be a bit of a question and answer. Rube's going to be asking the questions and I'm going to be answering them.
Yeah.
But it's going to be typical our style, so don't go away just yet. I apologise. We are going to be talking about knobs and penises, whatever you want to call it, whatever part of London you're from. So if that does offend you, then I apologise.
Oh, no, wait, hang on. Let me just cut you off there.
Go on, son.
Not just London, whichever part of the world you're from.
Because
we've got some international listeners based on our stats.
To the two people in New Zealand, thank you.
Yeah. The one in Philippines.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And the shout out to the person in Canada as well is tuning in, which
we got a couple in Canada.
Quite remarkable.
Checked, which is lovely. Hello to our international listeners. To our international listeners, knobs is a penis.
And penis.
It's not
knob
a,
is a penis.
It's
penis
not a biscuit.
Is a knob.
But yeah, we're going to be talking about knobs and penises and turtling. Well, Rube's is going to be turtling.
I'm going to be turtling.
It's going to be fantastic. But yeah, should we get into it?
Yeah, just to say, turtling isn't actually a medical term. It's more of a slang thing.
Yeah.
If you imagine the movement of a turtle and then relate it to the topic of discussion, that's it. But, mate, you started at the beginning of this conversation in your wonderful style of throwing me straight into the bloody mix.
Oh, yeah.
You're telling me about you shot out your catheter.
Right, so basically, I'm Spider-Man in real life. I found out, but with catheters.
Move over Tom Holland. Move over Andrew Garfield and move over bloody, what's his
yeah,
face?
Yeah, if you
Tony
want
McGuire.
Like a 75 kilogram Spider-Man who could just about fit in a suit, sure. So basically, I unattached my piss bag, or as we like to say in the medical community, a 2-litre overnight drainage bag from Hollister. I prefer the term piss bag.
And that's not Hollister as in the brand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no,
of,
you, no.
Super preppy.
We turn lights on where we are, darling. unattached it, and I found out with my new type of catheter, Rubes, this type of catheter has 5 holes, so it pisses quickly. If I squeeze, like I'm constipated kind of squeeze, this catheter just goes and shoots across the room.
I've made
my own Olympics.
You've done the javelin. Is that a javelin? What would that be? Is that shot put?
Archery?
No. Archery, mate, you are literally going to rock up to the bloody Olympics.
Robin Hood, eat your heart out.
Oh my gosh. What's that? You got a knife? That's treacherous to our few percentage of Australian listeners. I don't know if you guys. That's not a knife. This is a knife. This is why I think we'll stick to the questions and answers rather than the embarrassing impressions. But, mate, wonderful. And I'd say that completely sarcastically, because it's not wonderful. And I think before we get into the actual, we've had a bit of an appetizer to the whole situation. Oh, but I think you need to tell us what catheterizing is. What is a catheter?
That's a fair
and
shout.
And all of that stuff.
So like, a catheter.
Why are you there? Why are you here?
Well, I'm a co-host.
You are.
For Stars. So that's why I'm here.
Oh, so you're Ollie.
Oh, you're Ollie, yeah. Sorry,
mate,
sorry to disappoint, lads and lasses.
Never that.
Okay, so a catheter is, in the context we're talking,
yes,
is a tube. There's no way I'm making it sound exciting. It's a medical tube which has lube on it, which goes into your bladder.
Into your pube.
into your bladder, into your pube. I wish it was that less evasive, which goes into your bladder and fully empties all the urine or piss, whatever you want to call it, out of the bladder. Hey ho.
That's it basically drains out.
It drains
what your bladder would do, right?
Yes.
Because I know, like you did say, there's catheters for other different types of things. We don't need to get into that, but you know there are different catheters for, like, even if you have a line in your arm or your neck.
Exactly. Yeah. That or technically, a pick line, from my understanding, counts as a catheter. But this is the more, you know, if you go to a kidney transplant patient specifically and go, oh yeah, I catheterized, then they tend to like shake your hand and buy you a pint as a way of, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, definitely. I think I've been in that scenario a few times. Yeah. I think. So with the catheter, so this goes.
Visually, I like seeing how uncomfortable you are right now.
Sorry, mate. It's just, it never gets easy.
No, it doesn't. And
I've had a few catheters, and they've been horrible experiences. But it's more the thought of it. It's more the psychology of something going up your penis.
Yeah.
Inside.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about that. And your experiences, I guess, is what I'm trying to lead into.
Okay,
towards.
Would you like me to start from the bit? Should we start with, why does Ollie catheter us?
I think that would be a great place to start.
Because then I can kind of explain the differences then as well, if that's all right with you. Right, I'm a go off on one.
Mate, do it, I'm all ears.
Okay, so I catheterise very simply because I have a damaged bladder. When my kidney burst, when I was 3 weeks old, it also damaged my bladder. Not to the point of the bladder needing surgery itself. Thankfully, it still works as a bladder, but damaged to the point of it's a bit weak. So, your average person goes to the toilet and pisses and urinates, they will fully empty their bladder. They don't have to worry about anything. With me, when I go to the loo, I piss and urinate, think I've done, because I don't feel any more urine. My bladder also thinks it's done, but there's actually about 15 to 20 mils left in the bladder, which obviously that's not a good thing. If that's left in the bladder, that leads to, like you know with me, massive urine infections, resus level, septic. Ollie's really unwell. Let's get him sorted.
And just to clarify, 20 mils, it might sound like nothing, 15, 20 mils, even if, let's just go with 15, right?
Yep.
But that's accumulated. So by the end of the week, you're going to have whatever 15 times 7 is, which I can't do off the top of my head.
It's a slow build up.
And then obviously, naturally, you can't pass this urine out. Hmm. And when your kidneys aren't functioning, which we've already been through, and that's why we are here doing this podcast, because we've both got clapped kidneys, as one of our listeners kindly said to me, clapped kidneys. I won't name and shame them, but thank you.
That's not shaming. That's brilliant.
Yes. So, because your kidneys are clapped, So obviously this accumulation of, like, water, well, it's not water really, it's urine, it's waste.
Yes.
So does it shoot back up into your kidneys or your bladder, should I say?
So with me, So what happens, it would sometimes accumulate in the bladder, sometimes, you know, get worse. Sometimes I'll be able to empty it, but the word sometimes should not be happening when we're talking about emptying a bladder. It should be... No, you're emptying your bladder. So with me, what would happen, and this was a while ago, this was pre-2011, before I had the surgery, which I'll get to.
Of course.
Little hint there. That was sort of a reminder to us.
It is, what's coming up. Yeah, it's also like, mate, keep going.
What would happen would be my bladder would, like normal, you know, like your bladder squeezes to get the urine out. That's the bladder muscles, that's what they do. The urine comes out, and then what would sometimes happen with me is I would finish pissing and then the bladder would squeeze again, but instead of urine coming out, it would just shoot back up into my, at the time, transplanted kidney and native kidneys. So the kidneys I was born with but not removed during transplant, because we don't do that in Great Britain. New Zealand listeners and South African listeners, you're lucky. So what would happen with that is I would then have a backtrack of urine going into these kidneys, and a lot of the time this urine would be infected, and you don't want infected urine going back into your transplanted kidney.
Exactly.
So what happened with me was it sounds dramatic because it is dramatic, but it was a 5-minute turnover of 1 minute, Oliver's eating breakfast, and the next minute, Oliver's in recess.
In recess,
My temperature shot up to, I think it was like 48 degrees at one point. I had what we call rigoring, which is shivering and shaking.
Severe shakes,
because my body was just very much like, just keep him alive.
the first time I had like rigoring, I literally, it's really quite scary.
It's horrible.
Like, without sounding dramatic, I genuinely did feel like that was it for me.
Yeah.
And it's happened a few times more recently. And I say more recently, I mean in the last 5 years, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you're a kid, it's just like, that's it. I'm in the hands of the hospital and this is that and the other. But I feel like maybe going through it as an adult is a little bit different. Not that you don't trust the doctors, because
you just have more of an understanding of what's going on.
Exactly.
That makes it worse. As soon as you have that understanding, it makes it worse.
But, and when you're going through something new as well,
like
you've been through all of these things and you're like, hang on, I've never had this, this has never happened to my body before.
Exactly.
It really is quite frightening. So how did you like deal with that? Like in terms of, were you already in hospital when you were rigoring and shakes and we were at home.
I was at home at the time. So to deal with that, well, we, you know, we're kidney transplant patients, been doing it all our lives. You know a UTI when you see a UTI. Like jokes aside, we can, even if we're not medically trained, we can tend to look at someone, smell their piss and go, yeah, I can tell you what UTI you got, pal. Don't worry about the
test. Because you can,
because each one's got a different smell. I wish I was joking. My urine infections were so regular, I got to the point where smelling my urine, I could tell what infection I had. But hey, that was fun.
You know what? I'm gonna cut you off because I feel like I've just expertly, seamlessly got a link here.
Go on.
And talking about standing next to someone at the urinal and smelling their piss. Not that I did exactly the same thing, but could you tell that? Because now I know. But imagine I'm standing next to you. We've had our clinic appointment. I'm standing next to you, and you're urinating.
Yeah. You're helping me
shake.
As
we're very lucky to do after a transplant.
Yeah.
I'm maybe not that far, but yeah. But what is helping you is you suddenly start jumping up and down.
Ow.
So what the flip?
You want to go into that? My man. Okay.
I do, just briefly. Sorry, because I know you were about to say something else, but
no,
I don't
absolutely
know when I was going to bring in the quad core processing.
Okay, so...
So tell our lovely listeners a little bit about why you're jumping at the urinal.
It's also known as... quadruple voidant. So before I started catheterizing, what we used to do would be, Ollie, you have to fully empty your bladder. So it would be a situation of, we know your bladder feels like it's fully empty, but it hasn't fully emptied. So just wait there a bit longer and empty your bladder. So I would do something what was called quadruple voidant. Quad, four times, voiding, emptying your bladder. And it would literally be, I would piss. And like you said, I would jump up and down, do a little jig to get the urine like ready to come back out again. I would try and piss again, stop, do the same thing, and I'd do that four times. And it would, there's no two ways about it. I look like a pleb, but it works.
But I was going to say, it works. Oh, well, we're about to find out.
So most of the time with a lot of people, it does work. It's absolutely fine. Yeah. But with me, because I was a bit more medically complicated than that, I needed to start catheterizing.
Yeah.
So when we realized that wasn't working, because I was still getting the urine infections and all the scans were showing that, you've still got a fair amount of urine left after quadruple voiding.
Right.
Ollie, you need to start catheterizing. That was just dropped on me very much, like, start catheterizing. And I was like, oh, okay, cool, when? And they're like, now. Like, there and then.
Simple as that, just
like,
literally.
Start catheterizing, you're going to start learning now. So me being me from good old South London was like, hold up, kind sir and madame, who I both love dearly, my surgeon and urology nurse, they're both brilliant, but I was like, nah, you
super
can't.
Super talented human beings.
You can't just drop that on me. We're gonna have a little chat. We're gonna have a bit of a bartering system going in place, and we're gonna make a deal. This is the deal, because I know for this. Catheterizing that you're asking me to do, I can also have surgery, which makes it less painful.
Well, this is the thing that you obviously want to avoid is the thing going up your thing.
The thing
ideally,
being a catheter, the other thing being my penis.
Exactly. So if you can avoid anything entering that whole situation, it would be ideal, right?
Yeah, basically. And I'm well aware of that. And they were very much like, so they were honest with me, and I respect that, obviously, to this day. They were like, we don't want to do the surgery on you because of how much danger it puts your kidney in.
Right, okay.
My transplanted kidney.
Why.
So I was like, okay, that's fair enough. But at the same time, we need to look at this on a realistic level, which for a 13-year-old was quite mature of me. We need realistic level of that's fine, but if it gets to the... I know my body and I know what I'm like as a person. If this catheterizing is too painful each time, I'm just not going to do it. Like I'm going to hate doing it. It's something I'm going to dread, and my health is... My physical along with my mental health will just plummet. So I will try to... catheterize for 3 months, what they call the natural way, which is via the urethra, via my penis. And if I can't do it, I'm going to have the surgery. But at least I can say I've tried. And everyone was happy with the idea.
I rate that, man. Yeah. I really rate that. Because I think it's one thing having... So this is a kind of the benefit of obviously being under a general anaesthetic. Yes. When the catheter's going in, I've never felt that feeling.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There has been something called a stent removal, which, again, we'll get onto another side of life on this podcast journey, which is wildly unpleasant.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact that you're having to do it and doing it yourself...
Yeah, every 2 to 3 hours.
I can't... Yeah, okay, wow.
So, it was agreed I would do it what they call the natural way for 3 months... Because everyone was saying, yeah, it gets easier after the first month. It gets easier after the first 2-3 weeks kind of thing. So I was like, okay, no, that's fair enough. Like, I do want to give it a go properly.
Give it a go, yeah, give it a go.
Because I don't want to go into this, if I were to have the surgery and the kidney were, I was to lose the kidney, then I'd look back and go, if only I'd tried it properly kind of thing. I didn't want that. Yeah. I'm not that kind of person, so I'm very much like, gave it a go. Utmost respect to myself, without sounding big-headed, I did properly give it a go. I religiously would do like every 2 to 3 hours, do it how they taught me, and I just could not do it. I lasted a month. So I went over the 2 weeks. It was not getting any easier. It was, if anything, getting more painful for me because of how regular I was doing it. Mm. I wasn't sleeping because I would have a catheter in. We all know how comfortable that is at night with an overnight drainage bag attached. My respect for people who do catheterize, like... The natural way still to this day is through the roof. Like,
of course.
Good on you for being able to do that. I don't know how you do it, lads and lasses, but I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So we got me ready for the surgery. The surgery is called Plot Twist. So, spoiler, the surgery was a success. I'm still here with that transplanted kidney, which is good.
Got to celebrate that.
And the surgery is called a Mitrofanov, invented by some dude called
Professor
Dr. Mitrofanov.
Right, okay.
Or Mr. Mitrofanov, as he was a surgeon, I assume. I think they do it the same way.
But anyway, I don't know, but basically it was named after the dude,
who decided
to investigate penises.
And is basically,
catheters.
It's actually quite a cool surgery, so I'm going to nerd out a bit.
Because I just, it's very interesting. It is very uncomfortable at the same time.
Yeah.
Because of the... area in question, but nerd out, mate.
So this surgery is amazing. There's no two ways about it. It's amazing. So they took my appendix, turned it inside out, and made a tunnel with my inside out appendix, basically.
No way.
And that tunnel attaches my belly button to my bladder, and that is my stoma.
Right.
And I catheterize via that. Now, because the appendix is cut away, but technically still kind of alive because it's still there. And it's attached to the bladder and everything. I don't feel it, the initial catheterizing now. I can catheterize easy. The only bit I feel is when it goes into the bladder. That's uncomfortable, but believe me, it's nothing compared to urethral catheterizing.
No, of course, like, I can imagine. When you say it's uncomfortable, mate, what? Because obviously, describe it to a feeling that we might
have felt. It's like having maybe like a blood test. Like you just feel the jab of the initial catheter going in. It's the only way I can kind of describe.
Isn't it?
You know when you get punched in the arm and it's like a bit of a ow. That was a bit uncomfortable, but nothing bad. It feels like that, but just in my bladder. That's something you get used to, and I got used to that after like a year. It wasn't that difficult. And since then,
that's a huge relief. Then, surgery worked and stuff.
Oh yeah,
needless to say.
And like since then, I catheterize every 2 to 3 hours, really easy. I mean, you've been with me on like nights out and stuff, where I'll just stand at urinal, piss normally because that's how I get most of the urine out. Otherwise, I'd be standing there for a bit of time.
Of course,
stick the catheter in, out. Obviously, I'll do it all the hygienic way, on the normal way, into the bin, off we go. date that on for the rest of the night, carry on drinking kind of thing.
Fair play. I mean, I'm glad you brought up the night out, because this is kind of one thing I did want to talk to you about with regards to, like, relationships and sexual relationships, meeting women, meeting, you know. How do you navigate that whole area, man? Because, like, let me put it this way. You're in a bar.
Okay.
You've seen a lovely lady.
Yeah.
She's looked at you and she's like, you're drip... Oh, mate, I clearly I'm not that smooth. let me start again. So you're at the bar... She looks at you and she's just like, you're drop dead gorgeous.
Thank you.
I want to spend my evening with you at the very least, hopefully leading to more things.
Thank you.
Potentially.
A potential morning as well.
Potentially morning and potentially a lifetime afterwards, Oliver Crawley. So then you're obviously, you know, well, I'm used to this. I'm a playboy.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm standing there with a semi.
I am the Hugh of Croydon. I am the Hugh of Croydon. Where's my bathrobe? I always take it with me. You're standing there with a semi.
I'm standing in the bar right now in a semi. In my bathrobe, yes.
You're standing. So he's poking out. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful.
Yeah.
What happens next? Because you've got this whole bladder or catheterizing situation. do you there and then say, well, let's just hold it for a minute?
Now, madam, like, please understand. This is a catheter. No, I don't did that. I wish. No, so there's two ways of doing it.
Yeah.
There's either the straight up, like, okay, one night stand way. Okay, so let's go to the beginning.
Obviously, only share what you're comfortable sharing.
It's me. I don't mind. So what we're going to do,
I just feel like I need everyone to know that I'm not forcing him, guys.
Oh, no,
I'm not forcing him to talk.
I'm an open book, mate.
Yeah, I know you are, but maybe they're not aware of that.
What would happen would be, we go back to the lass's place.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you tend to get naked.
Primarily because you're living at home, obviously.
Yes.
Just to clarify.
Exactly.
You're not just being like, you're not, because I don't want it to be a creepy, weird, we're going to your place.
Oh, no. So, she's inviting me back to her.
She's inviting you back. There we go. That's a better way to put it.
Instantly, as a transplant patient, and this is the most common way, as a transplant patient, you take your top off, obviously. I don't know about any other transplant patient, but my torso kind of looks like a World War One battlefield. It's quite difficult to. I don't mind about that, but it does start a conversation. It's a very good conversation starter, and there's one of two ways. Classically, a transplant patient goes about it is they joke about it and they're like, "Oh yeah, it was a dragon," which is always fun. But with I've always just found it easier just to be honest and be like, oh yeah, no, I've had a kidney transplant and this is my stoma. And I catheterize via my stoma. And after we've had a bit of fun, you will wake up, I will wake up and I will have a piss bag attached. Don't worry.
That's literally, sorry.
There we go.
I don't know if it's nervous laughter, but I genuinely found it funny.
Yeah.
Because that whole prospect of, and when you wake up with me the following morning, there is literally going to be a piss bag next
attached to me. It won't be next to you. It will not get in your way. It will not stop anything, because it doesn't stop anything.
Of course, of course. Because everything else is fully working, thankfully. Like, for yourself,
I mean, last
obviously.
Time I checked, yeah.
Good.
It's been a while, but yeah.
Mate, it's lockdown. I think there's a lot of males making sure it's checking regularly. But what I was going to say was, so that's great.
Yeah.
That's cool. And again, needless to say, and I'm sure everyone listening would agree, honesty is kind of the best way forward
with
this stuff. You don't want to just suddenly wake up and then bam, what's this?
Yeah.
If you were to not recommend this at all, if you were to just not drain for that night.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I'm just saying this because as a teenager and, you know, growing up and when you're first exploring yourself and
every transplant patient has tried to hide it. Yeah.
So what would happen?
Personally, I'm not talking on behalf of other people who catheterize, but me personally, it would go from, hey, you're waking up next to a guy who has a piss bag attached, I hope you don't mind, to, hey, yeah, don't mind me, I'm just on my way to A&E. like, it would be, like, jokes and dramatisation aside, actually, I'm not dramatising, it would be that situation.
No. It would be like, you know, like, should I call you an Uber? No, can you call me an Uber?
No, can you skip the Uber and just ring 111 whilst I try and sort myself out here, kind of thing. Or just find out where the closest A&E is for me and I'll, my number's just here.
I just imagine it being like the scene from Gone Girl.
Oh, God.
Where you're just screaming on the floor. But the only difference is you're leaving a trail of piss behind you.
Yeah.
With like, the bag.
It's usually bloody as well.
I wish I hadn't given that image of Gone Girl. So, great film if anyone hasn't watched it, by the way.
That would basically be what would happen. So in simple terms with me, I don't not drain during
Completely
a night out.
Fair.
I would rather accept, okay, I had an embarrassing moment and someone wasn't interested in me after I told them I catheterized or I have scars or whatever. In that case, well, chances are that's your loss, not mine, love.
100%. You go, Ollie. That's like, the mentality. Your loss, not mine.
I would much rather take that risk than me being an A&E, putting my own body, my own kidney, my own bladder in jeopardy because
rubbish.
I didn't have the balls to turn around and go, hey, I catheterized, don't mind me. Like, you know.
How does it, because I mean, also for someone who's not familiar with this whole world, I won't dwell too much on this topic, don't worry, I do have other questions.
That's right.
But what I will say is, for someone who's obviously, you know, so they're comfortable and, you know, you're active together and whatnot, right? Would there be questions about their sexual health having slept with you?
No, not at all.
I can imagine that would be something that could go through someone's head.
They've sometimes
asked... Because it's something that they're unfamiliar with.
Yeah, I've sometimes been asked questions like, will it affect me? Do I have to do anything? No.
Right.
Like, nothing whatsoever. Like, you know, okay, yeah, pee after sex.
Yeah.
You should be doing that anyway.
Likewise
with me. Yeah, pee after sex. No, it doesn't affect the other person anyway whatsoever. I'm not going to go midway and go, hey, I catheterize, now you have to. Like, it's not... It doesn't work like that. Like,
no, of course, know. Yeah. Now you have to, here, take this tube.
Yeah, here you go.
And...
So I've done it, now you do it. It's not... I mean, unless they want to, sure, but I don't think they would want to.
I don't
to.
Think anyone would want to do that personally, out of choice.
It doesn't affect the other person at all. Like... Unless they want to ask more questions and want to get to know me better, then it's very much like, yeah, you know, if we're making this a more regular thing, then I might leave some catheters around your house. Doesn't take up much room. Just stick them under their bed.
Because they are literally portable. I mean, how do we describe it? I don't know.
About the size of my phone.
The size of an iPhone.
One of the smaller ones, not the big ones. And like that can stick in my pocket. Like a lot of people have said, oh, you've dropped your phone when I've dropped my portable catheter before.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, it's a lot less expensive, but thank you. No,
definitely. But I think that's just genius by those who've, the medical team and research team that are involved in the whole putting that together.
Definitely.
I find that remarkable because it allows you to have as normal a life as you can.
Yeah.
By literally slipping it in the back pocket of your jeans or your trousers, whatever, in your jacket.
You know where I keep them, Rubes. You know me so well.
There you go. But this is it, though, isn't it? And it's like, no, but it's great. I think it's so great to have that because I think something that we always talk about, whether it's on this podcast or outside or whatever, it's the fact that there's a lot of people who are going through these chronic conditions. In our case, obviously, a lot of our stuff we're talking about is... more kidney related at the moment, at least, but we have got some exciting guests coming up.
Wink,
later.
Wink.
But it's leading a normal life or as normal a life as you can.
Yeah.
So, how does it affect you? Because I know you're sporty, I know you like climbing and you know, you play other sports, you love your table tennis as well, mate. How does it affect you physically? Does it affect your health, your stamina, your like energy levels, your ability to climb and play table tennis? Like,
no.
What's going on there? It is literally just normal, right?
No, the only thing I do have to change, so I'll use climbing as an example.
Right.
I was hoping
you would, because I know that you're more passionate talking about climbing.
I'll use climbing and table tennis, because I'm both passionate about them and I love them. So climbing, I don't tend to do like an hour session of climbing. I'll tend to be like, okay, I've got a day off, I'm going to be out climbing in that climbing gym for probably the next 6 hours. The only thing I need to do for that climbing session that someone else wouldn't have to do would be to make sure I have enough catheters for that 6-7 hour session.
Fair play.
I would bring 2 or 3, 4 catheters, stick them in my bag, there we go, done, that's it. And the only extra thing sometimes, depending on the climbing gym I go to, would just be I explain to the person the person at the lockers, just being like, I will come back every so often. It's not me leaving, I don't want to repay for entry, I'm just getting some medication just so I can
from
my locker. I've never had any issues. No one has ever cared. They've been absolute. Thank you for telling us. That's absolutely fine. Mm. Like, and sometimes I get a little stamp. Just as like it works in a club, you know, when you go out to the smoking area.
Yeah, that's just the same thing, isn't
but
it?
But that's it.
Nip out and nip back in.
No one has ever had any issues because I don't see the point of making a big thing out of it because it's not a big thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But that will be the only time it has got in my way. The only time, and this is... I've been catheterised enough for 10 years now. The only time it's ever got in my way was at the Transplant Games.
Ironically enough, yeah.
It was at the Transplant Games. My name was called to compete in the finals, and I had to just tell them I'm going to be 5 minutes because I need a catheterise. That was it. And because
fair play. That like, everyone understands.
Everyone was like, oh, yeah, no worries. Like, that just gives me more time to prepare and have a sip of water and actually go into the toilet myself. So
exactly,
the person I was in the
sure.
finals with just came with me, and we went to the Leonard catheterised, and I think he was taking a dump, to be honest. So it was like there weren't any issues. Like that was the
he was that nervous, mate. He was quaking 100%. In his boots. He was completely
I did win
fine.
In the end, so it was all
he
good.
He didn't even have breakfast, and you made him literally use the toilet before you destroyed
but yeah,
it.
It. That's the only and like even then, it wasn't really getting in the way. It was just
it,
like
yeah, it doesn't sound it.
I just had to be honest to be like, no, I have to go. I've got to go to the loo and catheterize, so I might be a bit of time. Yeah, no one had any issues. That's how
fair
little,
so no
even though it's
issues.
A major thing, that's how little it actually affects your life once you work out how to work it into your life, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's like with... the thing is, mate, you say that, but then I think it's very invasive. Like,
yeah,
this whole
is.
Stuff
yeah.
is very invasive, and we will do like a catheterize the same way we discuss catheterizing, we will do an episode with me and my experience in dialysis,
yeah,
which
exactly.
again
yeah.
is very invasive. But if you can build a routine or build it into your routine or whatever, then that's I guess that's just the way you've got to keep like you know keep plodding along.
Catheterizing
really
as well, it's so personalized. Like some people,
yeah.
There's some people we know, and I know that you don't know they catheterize, and the only reason I know is because I've seen them drop
it.
Their catheter and be like, I have the same one. Let's not make a big thing. That's absolutely
fine.
Yeah. Or they've come to me at, again, the Transplant Games or one of our little Transplant meetings and be like, have you got a spare? I'm like, yeah, no worries, man, either. Like, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the only
I've,
reason
mate,
I know.
I've had that with, like, waterproof pouches and things. Again, I don't want to talk too much about dialysis,
yeah, exactly.
but we'll get into that afterwards. And yeah, it makes complete sense. It
yeah.
makes complete sense.
But,
so, yeah.
But they
no,
do it completely different to me because they've worked out a way of it working in their life because they've got a different life to me. Like, that's really the only difference. Although, yes, it is very evasive and, yes, it is very personal.
Yeah.
You do get used to it and you do get used to doing it in, like, there's some people who only have to catheterize twice a day.
Yeah.
I'm one of the people who do have to catheterize extremely often by catheterizing
standards. I just thank the bloody Lord that you're doing it through your belly button and
oh, yeah.
not through your
yeah,
your
I'm thankful.
Because, like, to be honest with you, with me, I don't know if you remember this little-known procedure, but when we first started talking about it, because obviously, you know, we're professional podcasters now, we plan our episodes, but... Mate, the thing that it gave me flashbacks of is one of the most terrible experiences that I've had in my life. And it was... the urodynamics experience.
That makes me shiver, and I catheterize on a regular.
For the life of me, I don't think I'll ever be able to shake this off.
Nah.
But I don't want to go into too much detail, but what I do remember is... clearly not paying attention when the doctors were explaining things. They were just like, yeah, okay, what we do is we stick a camera up there and everything's fine and we'll have a little look, make sure everything's okay, make sure your bladder... Basically, make sure your plumbing is okay. That's how it was explained to me.
Yeah, yeah.
So and you know what, mate? They even said, because this was at a lovely hospital, and they were like, oh, we'll put a movie on for you. And you can watch the movie.
Sorry to interrupt. How old were you at the time? When, like, was this...
Mate, so this was...
Like, recent?
Lead up to my first transplant,
so
I would
have
been
about
10.
You were 10?
Yeah,
okay.
So I was about 10.
Yeah, so it was in the children's wing you could
have... It was a children's wing and all of that stuff, right? So I'm like, oh, mate, this is quality. Like, yeah, all I've come up for is blood tests. They're going to stick a camera. Oh, I wonder how that's going to be. Little did I know that it was a bloody whopping last-sized ting. Bloody hell, man. I'm sitting there and they're like, the loveliest nurse was like, oh, we've got a few films here, which one do you want to watch? And I love Roald Dahl, still do. So I was just like, you know what, let me stick on Matilda, why not? I've seen that film only 400 times, I'll watch it again, why not? I know the words. Sticking in the Matilda thing, and mate, they're just like, okay, we're just gonna go in now. Literally, I was screaming. I was actually screaming.
Yep.
This tube entered my system, my pinus, it was unbearable. I think I was screaming so loud. I mean, not that anything sets mum off, but I think she was screaming. She was crying because she obviously knows, like, bloody. So you've got two of us there in the kind of X-ray radiography, whatever wing, that little bed. I'm screaming. Mum's squeezing my hand. I'm squeezing hers. I genuinely think I'm about to die. I don't know if I'm going to have a penis after all of this. And it was a horror show. Now, well, this isn't even the punchline, mate. There's nothing funny about this. This isn't even the punchline, because I'm having this conversation with you before, and what do you tell me?
I'm sorry to break it to you, Rubes. So you've had that once?
I've had that once in my life.
I have those bad boys twice a year.
No, this is not on. This is torture, mate. I'm not even... I'm sure there's, like, some places, some booky places around London that people would love this being done to them. And
which is fine. And I'd, like, each you, to their own.
You know, your lifestyle is your lifestyle, mate. But honestly, mate, I would not wish it on anyone. You do it twice a flipping year.
I have twice a year, like, booked into the calendar. I've got one coming up, depending on COVID coming up in August. So that's going to spoil my summer.
honestly, I...
But yeah,
you're gonna give me a while. This is the point where I turtle in the episode.
Okay, so do you want me to explain what happens with me? Because there's a bit of a difference. Okay.
Just say anything.
So, with me, it's very much to test my bladder pressure, make sure it's all working. Like you said, make sure all the plumbing is working.
Yeah.
I walk into the room. This was my last one, which was because of COVID, was 2 years ago. So thank you, COVID, not for killing everyone, but giving me a break from aerodynamics. But
if there's anything positive,
yeah,
if there's anything silver positive, linings. Silver linings, mate, you avoiding that procedure is
I walked into this room and it wasn't very big, and there was a group. Like, I hadn't realised I was going to compete with a catheter in the gladiator of our hospital, the gladiator arena that is Eurodynamics.
Mate.
Walked into this room and it was my normal urology nurse, who me and her get on so well. Like, you know, you every transplant patient has that nurse where you can just joke with them and it's non-professional. That's
super
me and
nice.
This nurse.
Yeah.
And she gave me a heads up. She was like, you can tell them to go, they are juniors. And I, like, instantly you say no more, I know it. And I'm like, it's absolutely fine, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
They have to learn somehow, and why not learn on someone whose bladder barely works? So cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Lay there, camera goes in, you know, the old, you know, the noise you make of, whew, okay.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a shiver, because that's how uncomfortable it is.
Very.
Camera goes into my bladder, right, cool. And they're like, also, Oliver, could you just lay on your side? And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, they're just making sure the camera's in the bladder properly.
Yeah.
No, madame and sirs. They go, also, we're just going to make sure, we're just going to stick one up your bum as well.
Oh, my days.
So I'm like, excuse me?
Oh, my days. Those tuning in who are interested in these lifestyles that we're talking about just a moment ago, they're probably thinking, oh, I need to put myself for a aerodynamics.
Yeah. Oh, well, if...
So the camera's gone up your rump as well.
There were, I was just saying up my rump, like a good old rump steak, because I've been squatting.
Bloody hell.
Goes up there and I'm like, oh, okay.
Because at this point, you know what the line that always gets me? The line that always gets me, it's... when they stick a tube up your willy and up your ass. You know the line that always gets me? Ruben, just relax. Just relax. Ruben, yeah, you're not relaxing. Ruben, can you just relax?
What does my head in?
And I'm literally like, I can't even swing at this point because I am so
flipping
domesticated. I am sweating from every orifice.
I'm like, Oliver, are you okay? Fine. Thank you for asking. Are you okay? Like, I'm trying to be polite.
This is it.
Anyway, yeah. The question they ask. Now, you might feel something uncomfortable. Madam, words can't describe to you how uncomfortable this is.
This is no ordinary uncomfortable. This is
MNS. This is MNS catheterizing in both your holes. Uncomfortable.
Mate. But, it's a horrible situation.
Lay in there. All the tubes are in. Okay. And get up. And they're like, cool, jig around. You're all good to go, pal. And then they're like, can you pee in the bucket? And I'm like, the bucket?
This is like from a Saw film, mate. Yeah. Honestly, because I remember the bucket.
The bucket.
The bucket's no ordinary bucket, is it?
Even it's the not even an M&S bucket.
It's an M&S bucket.
It's oh no. So this bucket, they're just like, just pee into the bucket. Don't worry about the bucket. And I'm looking at this bucket, and the me and this bucket are eyeing each other off. And I'm like,
literally,
I'm not ignoring this bucket, nurse.
Oh my gosh.
And then her name. And she's like, no, don't worry about the bucket. I'm like, I'm worried about this bucket. Why is it spinning? Why is this bucket spinning?
There's like motors going on in this bucket.
You just got like a normal bucket, and then in this bucket, you've got like this motor. Like a fan.
And the most delicate part of your body is
And I'm like,
facing that. A bucket with the motorized bloody switchblade.
So she's just like, and I'm like, okay, what do I do with this bucket? And she's like, pee into it. I'm like, pee into it? If pee into it, I have a catheter in. And they're like, no, so we just wouldn't, just pee, the catheter will come out, just pee. I'm like, okay, you're saying there's about a catheter in, buff. Okay, so, okay, oh, and I'm like, I'm not going to argue with them. They obviously know they're just doing this for my greater good, so we can help me long term. And I've got like the little, you know, like coverings over, so I have a bit of privacy, but you can still see them. So I'm like, and they're like,
mate,
Oliver,
they're still there.
They're still there. So like, I've got a crowd. So they're like, Oliver, just double checking the scans are working. You're not urinating? And I'm like, there's seven of you and one of me. Now, I don't get stage fright, but right now, nothing's working.
Oh my god.
And they're like, okay, sometimes
you're standing there shriveled with this bucket in front.
Honestly.
And behind the glass you've got like bloody nine doctors.
And they're all like, okay, I imagine them like taking
seven
notes
juniors.
And all like, patient could not urinate. And I'm like, no, I can and I will. just not right now. I'm a bit
Mr.
nervous.
Crawley is having some difficulty passing you.
Yeah. Mr. Crawley bigged himself up too much, and I'm like, no. See, I'm just, this is not in a normal environment to release urine from, so give me like 2 minutes.
Oh, my days.
And they're like, what's helped you in the past? I was like, dripping water. So one of the junior doctors, obviously, maybe there was a miscommunication, because he didn't just drip that water. Boy, I had a tsunami hit me.
Like a
dam just burst. It just turned this tap on, and I was like, not quite what I had in mind, mate, but okay, that's all right.
That's fine, it'll do.
And he was like, no, that's what we need from you. And I'm like, what I need from you right now is to be quiet. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. I love it. You're like, I really respect what you're doing. Thank you so much, but now I'm going to need you to pipe it. Just give me 2-3 minutes. You're a professional and I'm a professional patient. Leave this to me. And they were like, Ollie, your bladder's moving a lot. I was like, I'm jumping. I need to get movement going. And I'm jumping. Everything's wiggling all over
wiggling,
the place,
wiggling,
whatever that
wiggling,
means.
Wiggling, wobbling, doogling.
And
oh,
then
my days.
It happens. That just, I'm like, right, okay, I'm going to go. Right, all that power. And then I piss. The catheter just
out.
Like shoots out. The thing bloody comes out of me bum, and I'm standing there like, power!
Father!
All this piss comes out. I'm in pain, because the catheter's basically just been yanked out by me. And they stop, and they're like, hey, Ollie, we're really sorry. We didn't pick anything up.
Oh, my days, mate. That's not even, like...
I started, like, you know... when news is given to you and you're like, right, I've got two things here. I could either swing or I could laugh. I'm going to laugh. And yeah. I was just like, all of the junior doctors left and the urology nurse was like, one of them's going to fail. I'm going to make sure of that. Let's just do it again really quickly, but we'll put the catheter. This made it worse for me. This made it worse. We're going to put the catheter into your stoma, if that's okay. I was like, I'm sorry, what? They were like, yeah, we'll just put the catheter into your stoma. It doesn't have to go into your penis. I was like, I'm sorry, it doesn't have to go into my penis. It doesn't have to go into my penis at all. And I've just been through all that. I've just had, like, a 7-man private theatre show with 7 people watching me piss.
You've just turned London into Amsterdam here
you know, whatever floats people's goats, but I'm fairly sure I heard a noise behind that curtain. Have a look into that. and she was like, yeah. And she put, I put the catheter in because I'm so comfortable doing it. Pissed like normal, pulled the catheter out, boom, done. And I'm like, okay. You know, I'm...
Mate, I just
And yeah, now I do that twice a year, and it's honestly. So I called the spinning pot of death Bill now, because me and him are close. We're close. I understand him. He understands me. we're in and out.
And that's it, basically. Bloody hell, man. As you can see, I'm a little bit lost for words because had that procedure when I was 10 years old and I still think about it every now and again.
It's not fun, but it's one of those things.
Life
of,
has
like,
not been the same. Life has not been the same for me.
No,
since,
I've never looked
you.
At a group of doctors the same since.
Not those seven,
like,
at least.
Whenever a group of doctors walks near me, I turtle. Hi, and the junior doctors are here, and I'm like, you're not going to watch me, are you?
No, it could happen at any moment.
Exactly.
That's the thing. It could happen at any moment.
They were outside my window the other night.
Social distance, of course.
Of course. But, all masked up, PPE. It was an odd sight, I tell you. But no, it's all good fun. But I know, like, we've built it up to be this horrible thing, but it is for our, like, without sounding like hot fuzz here, it is for the greater good. It is for the greater good, and it is annoying, and it is painful, by the way, to Hot Fuzz. Like, yeah, although it's annoying and it is painful, it is very much like, no, the stuff they get, it with me anyway, is very much needed. Like, okay, good. I know I have good bladder pressure. I know I don't need more surgery. Yeah. Perfect. That's all. Like,
well, this is the thing.
Instead of me worrying,
this is the thing with anything, like, whether it's catheterizing, whether it's whatever kind of situation, whether it's just taking tablets, you need to do these things to keep making sure that you're okay and your health is as much in check from our perspective as we can. And, like, just behave yourselves, I guess. I don't want anyone to, like, be too put off from listening.
No.
And if they're listening and they've just been told by their doctor, like, I think we're going to start going into catheterizing, which I'm sure, feel free to get in touch
and
with, because Ollie will be more than happy.
I'll be more than,
like,
happy to talk to you about it. Two, nowadays things have changed so much since I did it. I started trying to catheterize 11, 12 years ago, and I know that in the grand scheme of things that doesn't sound like a long time, but with medical science and catheterizing, that is so huge. Like, things are changing in catheterizing on, like, a 2-monthly, 3-monthly basis. There's a new type of catheter coming out, which makes it easier to catheterize for me. Like,
well, I told you about this whole portable thing. Actually having a catheter that kind of you just stick in the back of your pocket.
Yeah, exactly.
You do your thing, obviously, and then once you've done and you've drained everything out, chuck it in the bin.
That's a relatively new one. Like, it's a relatively, like, I would, before, like, yeah, my now famous, it's called a VapeRo catheter, for anyone who's interested, who catheterizes as well. No, because it's not a well-known catheter, and I can't recommend it enough to people who go out a lot and just, you know, get on with their lives kind of thing. It's called a VapeRo catheter. That wasn't around 5 years ago. Before that, I would have to use my...
Yeah.
Like, they're still good catheters, but they're just a bit chunkier, they're heavier, they're a bit more awkward to do on a night out because the lube is separate to the catheter. With this, it's just all in one thing. You've seen me do it. I'll open it, it goes in, it comes out, I'm done. There's, like, the only pre-production, the only, like, getting ready to catheterize I have to do is obviously make sure my hands are clean.
Well,
that's
of course, which is normal, which has always been the case for us.
Exactly.
Anyway, when you're using the toilet, you're washing your hands kind of before and after.
Yeah, like my old catheters, it used to be a 3-step plan before I could get the catheter in. With this, it's now just wash your hands, catheterize, done. And then wash your hands after, because I'm not a mong.
Not to leave kind of anyone on a somber note, I guess. It's been quite the roller coaster of a few twists and turns, some of them into the actual penis itself today. But what I would say is, what's the future for you, mate, with catheterizing? Because am I right in thinking that once you've had your, you know, a time will come where you have another transplant.
Yep.
Will that mean that you will have to continue catheterizing?
Yes. So with me personally, I'm going to be catheterizing for the rest of my life. Like, there's no two ways about it. I might have more surgery.
Salute you, man.
On my bladder. I might have some more surgery. I might have a bit of bladder enlargement. I won't go into that, mostly just because it's really boring. But that's it. Like, the only thing I'm kind of not looking forward to in the future regarding catheterizing is when I'll start dialyzing, sometimes the kidney doesn't produce urine, but I need to keep this stoma open. So I'll do what they call, what I've been called, it might be known in different communities as different things, but what has been described to me as dry catheterizing. So I'll basically be putting a catheter into an empty bladder, and that kind of causes major bladder spasms and stuff, but you know, I'll cross that bridge when I get to it, and I'll find a way to deal with it. If that means more medication to help calm my bladder down, that means more medication, and that's fine. Like, in the grand scheme of things, it's not cool. I'll deal with it, you know.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate as well, man, like for anyone who does want to get in touch, to if they are kind of, you know, I know we've had a laugh and whatnot, and we've, you know, we spoke about the awkwardness that is catheterizing and stuff, but I'm sure, like, Ollie, mate, you'd be more than happy to run through
any questions. I'm more than open to have a chat with people, like, if they've got any questions, or especially, like, not to cut anyone out, obviously this is inclusive to everyone, but especially if you're like a younger adult, you've just started going out, you want to know how to do things properly, you know, in a club and stuff like that. If the toilets are dirty, I'm gonna tell you now, You talk to the security guard or the medic and say you need a catheterized cleanly and safely, there's always a clean toilet they can find I haven't just told you that. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Same situation. I've been in situations where I've had to, thankfully, not catheterize, but use a toilet. And
people don't mind, as long as you're honest. The main thing about catheterizing, before we start finishing up, the main thing about catheterizing, the best thing to do, in my personal opinion, is just be honest. It's not something you should be embarrassed about at all. If anything, it's something you should be proud of. You can look people in the eye and go, yeah, I catheterize, mate. Like, if you come up to me and go, yeah, I catheterize you ruefully, and we're in a pub, I'm buying you a round,
mate. That's on me. Honestly,
don't worry about it. As long as you know, catheterize that round out of you after, I'm all good.
No, definitely, because I think it really is a big thing. And to just get on with life with it as well, it's really quite remarkable.
But most people do. Like, the amount of people we know who catheterize and you can't see it. And you wouldn't be able to see it. Of course. Because they just go to the toilet, they don't make a big thing out of it, and they catheterize. Like, I'm one of them. Like, if I hadn't done this, and I'm like... Mate, to be honest, I'm fairly sure if you hadn't seen me catheterize, you probably wouldn't know. And unless, obviously, I told you, but...
Well, you've mentioned it, yeah. But I mean, yeah, you're right. And the thing is, I think it would be like... because, you know, your toilet is your private space. No one's going to really follow you in there. So you could get away with just
unless
basically
you're
doing
a group of junior doctors during your dialysis. But yeah.
Eurodynamics. Eurodynamics, indeed. But mate, I think before we get back into that conversation, I think we need to wrap it up. I do not want to talk about
I don't want to talk too much, because otherwise I'm going to have to go crawling in and finding him. So, and on that lovely note, I will love and
on
leave
that
you.
Wonderful. No, mate, it's been a pleasure as always. Guys, make sure that you tune in. You know where to find us, at Professional Patients on Instagram. Because I haven't done it for a while. And I thought, you know what, let's just chuck that in.
And
please keep your lovely messages. It means a lot to us. It really does. Yeah. And it just encourages us to keep talking and catching up and recording it. And
real quick. Before we say goodbye, real quick, I've got a lot of messages of things that people want to hear on the podcast. Don't feel bad, keep them coming, that's good. Like, if there's certain questions you want to hear more about in transplant community, I've had one question recently of, like, are you just going to carry on doing kidney stuff? We're not. It's just we talk specifically about kidney transplant stuff, because that's what we do. So, but yeah, we do have in the future heart transplant, lung, liver. They've all said yes. So we're going to be having them on as well in the future. Something to look forward to.
And we're having
fun.
A mix of like professionals as well as patients as well. Because it's, we kind of want to learn ourselves and kind of, you know, like impart anything that we can to you guys.
Yeah. Good times. Yeah. Cheers for asking.
Love you and leave you, I guess.
Lovely questions, Rubes. Much love.
Oh, mate. I had a real... life lesson today, and that's to be super grateful that I'm not catheterizing.
Honestly, I've never seen you so clenched. And on that bombshell, I'm gonna say doodles.
All right, then, man. Peace out. Take care.
Doodles.
Bye.